Next up, was she an innocent teen caught up in a situation she didn't understand, or is she potentially a danger to society if she comes back to the UK? Shamima Begum, the London teenager who left the UK age 15 to join Islamic State in Syria. She's begging to come back home now. She's given birth to a baby boy at the weekend. In an interview with Sky News, she said she had a good time under ISIS at first, adding that at times things then got tougher.
You know, at first it was nice. It was like how they, you know, showed it in the videos, like you come, you make a family together. And then afterwards things got hard.
Did you know what Islamic State were doing when you left for Syria? Because they had beheaded people, there were executions.
Yeah, I knew about those things and I was okay with it.
There's a struggle going on in the UK now at home about whether you should be allowed to come home or not. What are your feelings about that?
I think a lot of people should have like sympathy towards me for everything I've been through.
Do you feel that you have made a mistake when you look back at what you've been through over the last 4 years?
In a way, yes, but I don't regret it because it's changed me as a person. It's made me stronger, tougher. You know, I married my husband. I wouldn't have found someone like him back in the UK. I had my kids. You know, I did have a good time there. It's just that then things got harder and I couldn't take it anymore.
So she wasn't really that affected by beheadings. She wasn't really that affected by seeing heads in the bin. But she does have a baby boy. She's just given birth to a child now. Mohammed Shafiq joining us this morning, commentator, chief executive of the Ramadan Foundation. Should she be given mercy? Should she be given understanding because she was 15 when she left Mohammed? Has she been brainwashed and therefore some people might try to understand why she's being so cold, if not callous? Or should she be kept out of this country at all costs?
Well, I think we've got to take the emotion out of it. I think all of us have been disgusted by what she's been saying in her interviews to the Times and Sky News. She's shown no remorse. She's shown no humility. And she casually accepts the beheading of people. And that includes David Haynes and Alan Henning, aid workers, who went to help the Syrian people. I would want her to see the impact her actions have had on the families. So I hear all of that and I share all of that. And as I said, I think at the weekend to you, Stephen, pretty 90% of the Muslim community that I've been speaking to are actually totally opposed to her coming back. But it's about the due process of the law. And the law doesn't discriminate based on emotion or people's certain preferences or views of what they've done. The law is very clear that she's a British citizen and that we've got to take her in. But that doesn't mean she gets in.
A British citizen that went off to join people who were killing and torturing, you know, putting people in a cage and setting them alight.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And if you're asking me what my initial reaction would be from a cold, emotional point of view as a father, as a, you know, as a son, as a human being, I would agree with you. I'm just so disgusted that anybody would even think about wanting to join such a death cult. But the law doesn't, as I said, the law is not based on emotion. It's based on equality and it's based on the fact that she's a British citizen. And therefore, it's our responsibility to take that on. You know, screen her. I think she could be potentially charged under anti-terror legislation, joining a proscribed organisation, for example. Somebody else recently was jailed for that. So there are options for the government and the authorities. But the objective should be to, as well as protecting that child.
Mr. Gifford is with us. He's been to Syria, fought alongside Kurdish forces against IS. Morning to you, Mr.
Good morning.
Good morning. You believe that ISIS have a new tactic, and that's to try to get some of these people back into this country by saying they want to come home, right? Where did you hear that from?
Well, I heard it from the YPG intelligence units who are in control of the refugee camps and the camps that are holding these foreign fighters. They've already been debriefing them, and the sort of the narrative or the plan is quite clear from the Islamic State. These foreign fighters cannot stay in Syria. They cannot hide. They stand out too much. Many of them don't even speak Arabic. So they've been told simply to go back to their home countries, to start sleeper cells, presumably, and renew the fight when they get home. So I'm not saying that all of these foreign fighters would do that. That's certainly what they've been briefed to do. Some might wish to come back and actually turn their backs on ISIS and wish to have a peaceful life. But in that lies a great risk to all of us.
I think you're absolutely right. Can I just pick up on that point?
Well, before you do, Mohammed, sure. Let me bring in Carl in Belfast. Morning, Carl.
All right, how's it going?
Go ahead, Carl.
Well, basically, the way I see it is this young woman, right? I believe that she should be given a hero's welcome. She should be welcomed basically back with open arms. Because the way I see it is, she went over to a different country, right? And she was doing what she believed in. And she went over there. Okay, the bottom line is she was killing people, right? And she was involved in killing people.
She wasn't killing anybody, was she? So there's no evidence that she killed anybody. She went off to join ISIS.
Right. But the thing about it is, people of the British Army, they go over to different countries, right? And they do the exact same sort of thing. And they're given hero's welcomes when
they don't.
They do indeed.
Where are you from?
They get involved in wars.
When's the last time a British Army put somebody in a cage and burnt them alive? Or tortured them? Well, or beheaded them? Or put them in a cage and drowned them?
Killing's killing. Do you know what I mean? Killing's killing at the end of the day. Do you know, it's the same bottom line.
Where are you from?
Where am I from? I don't really see where that's relevant. Do you know what I mean?
Because I'm wondering how you compare someone in the British Army to ISIS.
The killers are people who kill other human beings. Like that's, at the end of the day, they're exactly the same. When you get to the bottom of it, that's what they are.
They're soldiers working within the rules of law, of war.
Look, they're still killing people. It's killing. Do you know what I mean? And they're killing people in other countries. You know, it's not as if you're defending your own country. If you're going over to some other country and you're killing people there, well, you have to expect, people to sort of, defend themselves and attack you back. You know, and that's the problem. That's the problem here. The UK in general, we've been invading too many countries and causing too much problems by invading these countries. We're to blame. We have to accept it. We're the ones that's to blame here. It's not everyone else.
Mohammed Shafiq, what would you say to this caller?
Well, I would actually say that to Alan Henning's wife and children and David Haynes and other innocent people who got brutally killed, to that Jordanian soldier who was burnt alive in a cage. I don't think you could compare the barbarity of ISIS and the evil cult to the British Army or any other army. I accept that armies in war kill and innocent people and innocent civilians die. And we know that from Iraq and we know that from Syria and Afghanistan and Libya. The point here is quite simple. The Syrian people or the Iraqi people don't want these foreign fighters, as our colleague said earlier on. And if we allow them to fester in the Middle East, there is a chance that it could break out and cause more harm to our country. Therefore, it's imperative upon us as the United Kingdom, United States and other governments to come together and to come up with a solution to hold these people to account, maybe through the International Criminal Court, so that they are trialled and judged and sent to prison for the rest of their lives.
Here's Jim in Belfast. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, first of all, the argument is she wants to come back home. She wants to bring her child back. She says her child is British. Now, that's up for their inquiring into that now. If I could just give you an example. I knew a man who he was born in New York. His parents were from Northern Ireland. When the start of the Second World War, when America joined in the war, he was conscripted to the American Army. Yet he classified himself as British. Now, the argument from the Americans is, if you're born in America, you're an American citizen. That child was born in Syria. Therefore, it shouldn't be classified as a British subject.
Well, it doesn't work like that.
Could I say something before you interrupt, please?
Sure.
You've had your say.
Well, Mohammed's telling you how it doesn't work like that, Jim. So have a listen to him, then you can come back.
Well, the law is very clear that if you're a British citizen and you hold British citizenship and your child is born anywhere in the world, that child is British. That's what the law says.
Right. Well, then, obviously, the law should be changed. But there's one other thing that's come to light. Each one of the, President Trump wants us to take in 800 of those people.
Well, it's not. He was talking about throughout Europe.
Yeah. So in actual fact,
not us here.
One of them. Well, the cost of the court case for each one of them will probably be about £300,000 of legal aid for a start. So I don't think she should be allowed back in the country. Because
what about her son?
She's putting her two fingers up at the British way of life.
What about her son?
No. Nobody asked her to have children. Now, what's going to happen?
What about the rights of the child?
Well, hold on a second, Stephen.
No, what about the fact that she was 15? Was she brainwashed? Was she groomed online? Seduced online?
Well,
because that would be child abuse if she was, because she was 15, she was a child.
How would you feel? And we probably wouldn't be having this conversation now if she had been 16 when she left. 16 is the legal age to get married, join the army, various other things. So because of a few months' difference now, we are talking about her. So would we be having the same conversation if she had left when she was 16?
Carl?
No, we probably wouldn't.
Well, the way I see it is...
Now, just one other point.
No, hold on, Jim, hold on. Let's let Carl respond to you.
Well, it's like this here. As one of the previous callers quite rightly pointed out, she's a British citizen, right? So that therefore her child is entitled to come back to the country the same way she is, and there's nothing that he can say or do that's going to change that. Now she went over there, she fought for what she believed in, right? And there seems to be this basically witch hunt against her. Do you know what I mean? That's what it really is, right? You know, that's taking place at the moment. And it's not fair because, like, she done what she believed in, what she thought was right, and she wants to come back and live a life now. And I think she should be welcomed back with open arms and open arms.
Stephen, could I say something to that gentleman? He's English. He's probably from some part of London, I would suspect, with his accent. If there was another war and he was called up, would he go and fight for the country?
No, I would not. Definitely.
Yeah, well, you know what you are. You're a traitor. That's basically all you are.
He's not a traitor because he's entitled to his opinion, isn't he?
I'm not going to be going.
Hold on, Jim.
But if he wants to live under the British flag and the British rules, if there's another war and he's conscripted to join... And
I don't believe in killing people.
...and he should be put in jail for 30 years...
I don't believe in killing people.
My father...
All right, Jim, let me bring in Molly in Belfast. Morning, Molly.
Hello, good morning, Stephen. Every time I'm listening to these discussions on the television or the radio, it's always, oh, this is a law, this girl, not just her, there's so many different things. Oh, it's a law. Well, you know, laws are not written in stone. They can't be changed. I think it's too easy for people just to roll that out. Oh, it's a law.
And do you think she should be allowed back?
No, I don't.
Tell me why, Molly.
Well, I think at 15 years of age, I mean, when I was 15 years of age, I was out working. I was very, very well aware of everything that I needed to be aware of.
Our society defines a 15-year-old as a child.
Well, I think it's easy for 15-year-olds to make mistakes, but the mistake to go out to a place where you're looking at people's heads in a bin and it doesn't really upset you. I can't understand it.
Molly, thank you. Peter in Banbridge. Morning, Peter.
No, I'm just on about... Well, first of all, I want to say you had a good go at defending the British Army again. The British Army are not lily white, you know.
There.
Yes, I'm here, Peter. I'm listening.
No, but now that I've said that, no, Saudi Arabia regularly beheads people, and yet the British supply them with guns and bombs and everything to kill other people. I mean, there's a lot of hypocrisy at work here. And another thing, it was the actions of Britain and America and them people's countries that created ISIS in the first place. The ISIS didn't wake up one morning and say, we hate the British, we hate this or we hate that. I mean, violence breeds violence. When Britain and America goes abroad and all of them said it there, they can't expect to have no retaliation.
Yeah, well said, mate. Well said.
Derek and Bangor. Morning, Derek. Hello, Derek. Dean in County Down. Morning, Dean.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I just want to come at it from a bit of a different perspective here. The way I'm looking at this, and just to make clear, I didn't vote Brexit, but if you want a poster child for why the UK voted Brexit, this is it. You know, you have laws and you have regulations where allow people like this back into the country. You know, you just have to ask yourself, you know, this is one of the biggest reasons why people actually voted Brexit.
Well, those laws, the law would always exist that you can't, I think it's international law actually, where you cannot allow a citizen to be stateless.
Stephen,
so that's not
they're
Brexit.
They're not aware of the law. What they see is basically what they're seeing is this picture where you have a terrorist who can go out, do whatever atrocities. Even if this girl didn't do anything, she was still out in a society where people were, you know, causing atrocities on a daily basis, and you have people in government now debating whether she'd be allowed back in. That is the reason why people voted Brexit.
Dean, thank you. Derek and Bangor. Morning, Derek.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, my view on this is that girl went out there, obviously, she was a child. You got to remember, she was a child, she was influenced and this and that by whatever, but it's more than probably she will have to come back. And anybody who has to come back under that situation should be automatically tagged and no passport issued to them, and have to report to their local police station every 5 days or once a week or whatever. But at least they should be tagged, not put in jail where they're getting legal aid for this and legal aid for that and fighting cases for years. Just that's my...
Well, you think of how much it would cost to monitor that woman for years, if not the rest of her life. Well, Derek, thank you, Mohammed. Thank you very much.